Work and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock in New York City. Stay tuned for Back of the Book. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Back of the Book. Oh, Audrey, you can call that number.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all, yeah, we hit a million, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Yeah.
goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here. You can find out a little bit more about what we're talking about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you will get to the web page for this particular radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 92nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we will not be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program. This is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the whole week is we have dropped all the way back down to 118 followers on Twitter. Oh, my gosh. I wonder if this relates to the stock market crashing. People can't afford to follow us anymore. Maybe that's it. The next thrill-packed episode of the WBAI Local Station Board will be held on Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. There was an LSB meeting on May 11th, and, oh, it had some messy moments. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 526,539,868 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,287,278. In the United States of America, the number of cases as of Friday was 83,164,705, and the death toll in America was 1,000,936. So, 2,466 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death toll is a bit higher than last week's. And, of course, we have hit the 1 million mark, which we've been saying, oh boy, it's coming up. And predictably, it was hit in May. And so we've hit it. More than 1 million people have died of COVID-19 in America in the past, 26 or 27 months, something like that. Wow. The BA.2.12.1 subvariant of Omicron is still raging through the world. The pandemic is not over. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course, and it was all mostly preventable. And New York City and a number of other places in America are on a higher alert level again. Mayor Adams suggests that people wear masks, but it's not becoming a mandate again.
I find it really egregious that people aren't being told, yeah, you must put your mask on when you go to an indoor public place. Because you can get this version of COVID not once, not twice. You can get it 3 or 4 times. So, and kids, little kids have no protection against this. People who are immunocompromised have no protection against this. We're the protection. We're the ones that are supposed to be vaccinated and wearing masks. And I, on a personal note, I had wanted to go visit my parents in just a couple of weeks. And because we are having a big surge here in New York City, I can't do that. I can't get on the bus for 7 or 8 hours with people who aren't vaccinated and not wearing masks. and go possibly bring COVID to their door. So, you know, and that's just, at least I have parents. At least they haven't been killed by COVID. This is just so awful for so many people. And you'd think at this point, with a million people dead, people in the United States would be more civic-minded about this. But apparently not.
I finally got my second booster shot this past week. And I also went to the emergency room to see about the problem with my jaw. And I'm glad I got the booster shot. Does it take days or a couple of weeks to kick in?
Oh, it takes mere days.
So probably by the time you're hearing this, I think I've got my boosters up.
Yes.
And so there, that's good. So Pickles of the North and I are both double boosted, and we can probably hold on here, because one of the things that is really showing up is nobody's sure how long COVID is going to affect everybody. People are getting the BA.2.12.1 subvariant because it is so amazingly infectious. And they're getting it, and it isn't as deadly right away, but you don't know what it's doing long term. It's the long COVID stuff is leaving people with their brains not quite working right. They call it brain fog, where you're a little, not quite with it, and that is a bad thing, and that could be permanent for some people. Not a good thing. And then you've got lung damage that can happen from long COVID. And there are all sorts of systems in the body that are known to be affected by COVID-19. And does it affect them not as much at first, but, you know, anyway, but it still is going to, in long COVID, do damage? We don't know much about long COVID. It could be everybody who gets it is going to have some part of it for many years or maybe the rest of their lives. So the long COVID threat is really something. And, we know that getting fully vaccinated, which now means getting booster shots, we know that that means that you're very unlikely to end up dying from COVID-19, at least right away. But even with booster shots, this new subvariant is so infectious that you can catch it and it can get a foothold in your body. And is it going to do damage? Is it going to do long-term damage? Is it just going to make you feel a little crummy for a couple of days and then it goes away, which seems to be what a lot of people who are very vaccinated seem to be getting, but we don't know if it's doing anything nobody knows about yet.
Well, they do know that people who are vaccinated can get long COVID.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to see, and I'm glad I finally got off my fat, lazy ass and went out, and we went to the VA hospital and got me my shot. And as I said, I also went to the emergency room, got the shot, waited around for 15 minutes for them to make sure I didn't pass out on the floor, which is what they do also for the flu shot or any other shot they give you. And we immediately then went to the emergency room, which had more people in it than it had earlier. Yeah, I got us there late, and we had to wait around a while before the people giving the shots were going off to have lunch. So we had to wait around for them to come back for lunch. Oh, well. Meanwhile, we went to have lunch, and I had to have a hamburger because that was all they could really do there. The canteen, as it's called, in the VA hospital in Brooklyn is kind of gone downhill. Used to have a much wider variety of stuff, and I guess maybe it's that there are fewer people there, so they're having a lowest common denominator of things. But, oh well, one hopes that eventually they get back up to the way they used to be and you can have a nice turkey burger there. Oh well. But I needed the iron. The hamburger will have iron in it, and I needed the iron, so there's that. And yeah, I know, I could eat spinach and get iron too, but I don't like spinach, so anyway. And I do take pills that have iron in them, but apparently I have a little iron deficiency anemia here from blood tests, and we'll have to see how it goes. In any event, so I went to the emergency room. Turns out my jaw is not dislocated. Whoops, once again, Dr. Martin has blown a diagnosis. Sure felt like it, though. What I have is a TMD problem. Some of you may know that abbreviation. It stands for a temporomandibular joint dysfunction. That just means that the joint on the right side of my jaw is bleeped. And yeah, it is a soft tissue thing, it seems, and something is getting squished somehow. The doctor put his gloved hand in my mouth and felt around, felt on the outside, and said, yeah, you don't have a dislocated jaw. The jaw's okay. It's just that some of the soft tissue is now swollen and is causing a problem. And so what they did was they gave me some ibuprofen, which I think I'm really not supposed to have because of the diabetes, but they gave me that. And I will probably need to go in for a follow-up, but at least nothing's broken. I was really hoping that they wouldn't, you know, look at it and say, oh, well, a part of your jawbone is broken. That's your problem. But they didn't, and that's good. But TMD, that is a problem too. All this from a chicken sandwich. Well, we're in late spring right now, and we've had for us, we're recording on Friday, so late spring happened earlier this afternoon, and we've had a big rainstorm here, and that's slacking off. But yes, late spring could be really a great subseason, and I hope it's going to be like that this year. Of course, today, which is now we're talking about Saturday, so we got to switch back and forth there. For us right now, it's Friday, but we see the weather report, and it says Saturday, when you're hearing this program, it's going to be 90 or 92 degrees Fahrenheit in New York City. Oh, boy. Talk about jumping right into summer. And we've had this kind of thing happen in previous years, and yeah, this is a part of the climate changing. The prediction is that by the end of this century, New York City could have Miami's climate, which is like really hot, which is going to really change a lot of things. The plant life and the trees will be different. We'll get a lot more insects, including insects that carry diseases. Well, it can still be a great subseason, and let's enjoy it while we can before the tropics intrude.
We're all doomed, you know. The whole silly, pathetic lot of us. Doomed by the air we're about to breathe.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin.
Well, last Sunday, there was a total lunar eclipse. And I don't know about you, but in our part of Brooklyn, the clouds parted and you could see the moon and it was rising. And at the very beginning of the eclipse, you could see part of it getting, it looked like it was being eaten away. But it wasn't really. It was just the shadow. It was entering the shadow of the earth. And it got darker and darker and as it rose up, and I had to use a hand mirror to see it because looking out the bedroom window, and, oh boy, wasn't going to go out into the streets of Brooklyn after 9 during the pandemic by myself because our Paul was not available to watch the eclipse at the time. Were you, dear?
Was I? Oh, I don't know. I wasn't watching it because I would have to break
crane.
My neck.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to see it. Yeah, it would have hurt your neck too much. It was hurting my neck too. So I was.
Well, I have a ton of arthritis in my neck now. Ugh.
But the hand mirror helped, and it was actually looking pretty darn interesting after a couple of hours. And then when it was really looking interesting, the big clouds rolled in, and the moon disappeared. So we never got to see it in all its full glory, but we hope some of our listeners who live in more distant states got to see it, or maybe in the closer ones you got to see it through the breaks in the clouds. But there'll be another one in November.
Ah, let's hope the weather's good then. Yeah, see, this is one of the things where we get astronomy magazine and stuff. We see what's going to be visible and all. And we're always, like, back and forth, should we say, well, go on out and look at this particular event in the sky, because so often the clouds roll in and there's nothing to be seen. So, but sometimes it does show up and you do get to see stuff. So we're always torn about whether we should be telling people, oh, go out on this night and watch stuff happening in the sky, but oh well.
I feel more torn about it since the pandemic because things are so much crazier. They're crazier in the day, and they're crazier in the nighttime. A lot crazier. And
well, yes, the streets.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I mean, at night we have, you know, huge numbers of idiots on motorcycles and ATVs and these various scooter things, and they just go charging up and down the street, purposely making as much noise as they can. And, you know, you don't want to run into those jackasses because, you know, they're probably not staying in the street. They're going to be riding in a sidewalk trying to bother people. And, of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues. And Mariupol has fallen. The last people who were in the steel plant that was getting just bombarded, some of them escaped and were evacuated, and some of them surrendered and were taken prisoner. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen to them? They're going to, you know, they could end up just being summarily executed. There's this one Russian soldier who's confessed to, yeah, he shot this 62-year-old guy because somebody told him to, because otherwise the guy might give away the fact that they had run away from their tank, which had been destroyed, stolen a car and were driving away, and they were far away from where they had been fighting. And somebody said, hey, you should shoot that guy over there because he might, you know, use a telephone and say where we are. So we shot him. And he confessed to that. So, oh boy. I'm sure that Putin and his boys will now torture these people. I mean, we know that they are committing mass murder of civilians. They're war criminals. And, oh well, there you go. This is bad stuff with Mariupol. We knew they were going to get it, and they got it. And it's a strategic thing. Now they have pretty much the eastern part there, and they can go back and forth to Crimea, which they stole, and keep on going. The Russians continue to target apartment buildings, and you can see these images of the apartment buildings with big holes in them. Sometimes they're cut in half, or they're just completely burned out. And, you know, it's terrible. This is where people live. These apartment buildings don't look terribly different from the apartment building we live in and that other people live in. Jesus Christ. And Finland and Sweden have formally applied to join NATO. So take that, Vladimir Putin. However, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said that Turkey is, quote, not of a favorable opinion, unquote, about this, because he said the Scandinavian countries have supported the Kurdish militants, and he could block them from joining NATO. And I don't know, we'd see what would happen then. Maybe the United States would form some special thing with Finland and Sweden that wouldn't be NATO, and we'd just, you know, treat it a lot like that anyway. And, you know, could be something like that. Who knows? Or maybe Erdogan would take a payoff, because I think he's that kind of guy. So who knows? But, yeah, Putin's goal to weaken NATO is really falling apart now. Meanwhile, Ukrainian forces destroyed an entire battalion of Russian armored troops that was trying to cross the Seversky Donets River using pontoon bridges. And this is like amazing to blow up and stop and essentially destroy a battalion of armor. That's a big deal. And it looks like they were able to just go in, catch them at a vulnerable moment, and blow them up. I think they must have used drones. And it's a tremendous thing when you lose a battalion. Doesn't mean everybody's dead, but it means that the battalion is not a battalion anymore. And Britain's defense ministry said, quote, conducting river crossings in a contested environment is a highly risky maneuver and speaks to the pressure the Russian commanders are under to make progress in their operations in eastern Ukraine, unquote. So, yeah, it's one of those things of the bosses say we got to do this, but it's stupid. We got to do this anyway. Charge! Attackle, as they might say. And, yeah, and the Ukrainians found out about it. Maybe the Americans said, hey, our satellites show they're going to cross this river. Why don't you get ready to greet them? And maybe that's exactly what happened. And but really, losing a battalion in short order. I mean, if you lose a battalion of armor, usually that's because you've had some long, drawn-out battle with another big force, and over the course of days, you lose a battalion of armor. But that's not what happened here. And as a result of this battle, hundreds of Russian troops may have been killed or injured. So, you know, they didn't get everybody, but hundreds appear to be killed or injured. And once again, the big, highly vaunted Russian military machine seems to be kind of stinky. Meanwhile, the United States is going to send $40 billion in aid to Ukraine, but right-wing Senator Rand Paul prevented a fast-track vote on that. The measure did pass after a while, but Rand Paul had delayed it for days. And, you know, in a war, delaying things for days is kind of a big deal. Rand Paul had also delayed a bill that allowed the president to order confiscation of pro-Putin oligarchs' property. He's been pro-Putin for a while. It's interesting how these right-wing guys gravitate to Putin. I guess it's part of why they gravitate to Trump. Rand Paul has been in favor of Putin, doing things that favor Putin for some time. And at one point, he said that Russia, quote, only invades countries that were once part of Russia, unquote. What a stupid son of a bitch. In that case, I wonder if Rand Paul would be in favor of Great Britain and Spain invading North America on the same grounds. Really, that is just amazing stuff there, that you would have a Republican saying something like that. It shows how the Republicans aren't even the Republicans anymore. The Republicans were bad enough a lot of the time, but they weren't you know, really horrifyingly, terribly bad all the time. Now they pretty much are. Now they're these stooges. The Republican Party is anti-American at this point. They're anti-freedom at this point. And worst of all, they're stupid. Okay, it's time to pitch again. Yes, they have us doing this. And we're pitching BAI Buddies mostly once again. And BAI Buddy is our sustaining membership here at WBAI. And you should, we're supposed to ask you, I mean, we had a staff meeting 2 days ago and management was saying, you got to all get in there and pitch. We need to raise the dough here. And so we're asking you to please go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. When the person at the call center picks up, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy. And you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. And you can tell them how much you want to donate every month. That's how this works. BAI buddy, the sustaining membership, is you donate to WBAI a set amount of money every month. And you can tell them if you want to donate $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you want to, but you would be doing that every month. And you then tell them what day of the month you want to be charged for it. And they will charge your debit card or your credit card on that day on every month. So you make sure it's a convenient time for you to have the card charged, because you don't want it. There can be inconvenient times. So you tell them when you want it charged. 1-212-209-2950. So if you could do that, that will help a whole great deal. And if you become a BAI buddy, you get a tote bag. And that would be really fun to have, I suppose. So we really need to get stuff going here. Yes, we need to have some sound effects. We're going to ride our bicycle down Sustaining Membership Lane and ask you to donate to WBAI by calling 1-212-209-2950. Get out of the way, you. Yes, 1-212-209-2950. Give us a call at that number and say, yes, we want to become a sustaining member. And you tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis and when you want your card charged. And yes, we need to have people help us out with that sort of thing. 1-212-209-2950. BAI needs to survive. We need money to survive. And radio in general has been going through some hard times. And we're not immune from that. So we need to raise money. We always need to raise money, but we really need to raise money right now. We are running a deficit and we can't keep doing this. Something bad could happen. And so we're asking you to help us out. It would be very good if we could at least lower our deficit and pay some bills. We need to pay some bills. 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. That's 1-212-209-2950. And, here we are. We've ridden our bicycle, and we're out in the field now, and there's a cow here. Hello, cow, Ms. Cow. What would you like to tell our listeners in terms of what they should do?
Well, you should call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book Moo.
And thank you, Ms. Cow. Okay, please give us a call at that number, 1-212-209-2950. Oh, we're running away from the cow now. I think the bull is approaching. Oh, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here on the bicycle. Ah, and so we're asking you to pledge some of we're asking you to call up and become a sustaining member, a BAI buddy. You'll get a tote bag. You'll get a BAI tote bag, and you will be someone who helps BAI on a monthly basis. It's fairly painless. It's fairly painless to do it this way. Every month, you know, $5 a month is not a ton of money. We spend $5 on some ordinary things, so you could easily do that, couldn't you? Maybe you could say, yeah, I could do $5 a month, in which case call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and I want to donate $5 every month to WBAI, and you tell them when you want to do it, what day of the month you want to do it. Now, if you don't want to become a BAI buddy, you can still donate to WBAI. And we have elections coming up later this year, and these things are very important. You don't want to have the schmucks getting in. If the schmucks get a majority, we're screwed. So, yeah, you don't want the bad guys who want to do things like give the station away to a cable outfit. You don't want them getting a majority because they'll cause big problems. So you'll be able to vote, but you need to donate at least $25 to WBAI before the voting starts. Now, you have time now, so if you're doing a BAI buddy thing, you will be able to get that in if you do it today. If you don't want to become a BAI buddy, you can call same number, 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a donor. I want to donate $25 to Back of the Book. You're donating to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. And when you do that, you'll become a member of WBAI and you'll be entitled to vote. And, you know, we managed to dodge a bullet last year when we had this referendum thing, and every vote really does count. So make your vote count. The voting is what will keep us going too, besides the dough, and that will work out. Otherwise, you know, we could end up with bad guys shutting us down or selling the station or whatever. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call. You know, we do we're talking about a lot of politics things here. We're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic and the war over in Ukraine and Russia. And we're doing all of that. And we do science stuff. It's been so much happening. And we would be doing some science stuff, except there are some other things we're going to be talking about on this program. So maybe on the next program, we will be able to do some science stuff, we hope. We hope nothing terrible happens between now and next time. And so we're going to be doing science stuff, and you'll get to hear about all of that. But 1-212-209-2950, if you could possibly give us a call at that number right now, it would really help. And you could say, I want to become either a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or you could say, I want to donate $25 or more to Back of the Book in a lump sum, Again, 1-212-209-2950. We hope some of you are calling, and thank you if you are. So we mention on every program that, of course, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, evening, and we are going to not be able to cover things that haven't. Well, something happened last Saturday, and it was well after we had been off the air, so it wasn't really related to the fact that we record on Friday, but it happened last Saturday, and oh boy, I mean, this is terrible. We had more mass shootings in America this past week. That 18-year-old who showed up at the Tops supermarket in Buffalo was really something awful. I mean, this wasn't somebody going wild and just, you know, going off the deep end and shooting people. This was planned. This was really, really awful. He shot 13 people, 10 of whom died. 11 of the 13 people were black, and he was going up there specifically to murder black people. He actually researched the neighborhood and reconnoitered the store and the surrounding area before he went there. He had a map of the aisles of the supermarket, and he used that to plan his most efficient route through the store so he could maximize the number of people he shot. And he came in prepared with a lot of stuff, including his body armor, and an armed security guard was at the supermarket, and he put a round into him. He opposed him. He put a round into this punk, and unfortunately, the 18-year-old was wearing body armor, and it was effective, and the pistol round did not penetrate the armor. So it was more like he got punched, which is not that much. And so the 18-year-old shot and killed that security guard who'd been defending the other people, did his best with the weapon he had, and he shot the security guard with the AR-15 type rifle he'd brought to the massacre, and he had modified that rifle so it could take illegal large magazines, which, of course, allowed him to keep on shooting without having to pause to reload. They're in aisles. It's not like everybody can just run out in any direction. They're in these aisles, and once you get in there, especially the early aisles you get to, these people can't get away. They can't run toward you, so they got to run away, and you're an easy target when you're just running away. And, you know, they have to run down an aisle to get away. And so he was able to keep on shooting. If he'd had a smaller magazine, he would have had to keep reloading, and while he's reloading, people are running. But he didn't have to reload very much. The shooter drove from hundreds of miles away in Conklin, New York, to get to that particular supermarket to do his shooting. And he had these long white supremacist screeds online, and he went into detail about exactly what he was going to do. His plans included going to another store and a barber shop if he'd been able to get out of the Tops friendly market after the shooting, and he was going to kill more black people there and also shoot people in the street as he went to those other places. And this 18-year-old, I'm not going to mention his name, wrote in one of his screeds, quote, "Zip code 14208 in Buffalo has the highest black percentage that is close enough to where I live," unquote. So he wanted it to be a convenient place to commit mass murder. I mean, this is just an extremely bad person. Now, you might say he's insane or something like that. There's a lot of planning here, and it's not normal to do this. It's not psychologically normal, but he's not insane. He knew he was doing a wrong thing. He was going there to commit murder. He knew it. He said it was going to happen. He said it would be this racist murder. So he's a bad person. That's what's happening. This is a bad person, not a crazy person, not someone who's deranged and doesn't know what they're doing, not someone who's out of their mind and they get a hold of a gun and they just start shooting in the middle of a crowd. This is a bad person. And God, I mean, this is just a huge racist attack. In the screeds, the shooter cited something called the, quote, Great Replacement Theory, which says that immigrants are being brought into the United States by elites, whom apparently he identifies as Jewish people, because he was writing very anti-Semitic stuff as well. He says they're bringing in immigrants to, quote, replace, unquote, white Americans. And this is something the far right wing has been pushing. They had said it years ago, but nobody pays attention. But now they really, a lot of them are pushing it. And Fox News has been pushing this so-called Great Replacement Theory for years. But they're not mentioning that when they talk about this racist mass murder by a self-identified white supremacist. No, they're blaming it on President Biden. This is insane. They're blaming it on Biden, and they're not mentioning this replacement theory, Great Replacement Theory, even though they've been pushing it for years on Fox News. And, you know, I'm, of course, blaming it on former President Trump would be much more accurate because he's been gearing up these kinds of people for years and years.
This whole idea and using those words comes from a creep whose name I'm not going to mention, a writer from France in 2011 or 2012. This was in his great book because he was upset about all the immigrants that were coming to France, you know, that were not white, basically, in a nutshell. And so this has been taken up by their right wing, I guess, all around the world.
Ugh. Yeah, what can you even say about this? This is terrible. These white supremacist creeps are showing up all over the place, and the Republican Party is welcoming them. They court them. I just quoted you the stuff about Fox News. They've been pushing this stuff, but now that somebody has done something that they say, well, some people might not approve of mass murder like this, they are just not blaming the mass murder on the Great Replacement Theory. Because if they did, they'd probably have to then say why they keep pushing this. They're pushing it. They are like a part of this 18-year-old's screeds about this stuff. And this is really awful, terrible stuff. It shouldn't be happening in America. We also had another mass shooting of a guy who is an immigrant from the so-called People's Republic of China, and he traveled to a church frequented by people from Taiwan, and he went in there to shoot them for political reasons, and he shot a bunch of people, and he killed at least one person. So we have these shootings just going on, and I don't know what you can do about it. I think the proliferation of guns has been just impossible at this point in time. There's not a lot you can do about it. They're just so everywhere. And these ghost guns that other bad people are manufacturing the parts for and selling. And these kids, school kids, show up at school and they've got these guns with no serial number on them that they put together at home from parts. I don't know what you can do about this. This relates to the thing we were talking about last time about the Supreme Court, which is going to rule on the laws in New York State and New York City especially that limit gun possession and require that to have a concealed carry of a gun, you have to have a license. And the Supreme Court, given how right-wing it is, may just decide that No, that law is unconstitutional. People get to carry whatever guns they want, however they want, all they please. And things are going to get worse with gun violence. And this thing in Buffalo and the thing in California, it's not the last incident like this. It's going to keep getting worse. And between the awful politics that may be causing a civil war sometime soon in America, and just the proliferation of any kind of a gun, I don't see how things are not going to devolve into chaos. And again, possibly an actual civil war.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
And before we go, I wanted to mention that we got the sad news that Urvashi Vaid died on May 14th. She was 63 years old. She was a lesbian activist and was very high profile. She reportedly died from a recurring cancer. She had been the executive director of the Gay and Lesbian Task Force from 1989 to 1992. That group is now called the National LGBTQ Task Force. It was originally the National Gay Task Force. In 1990, she disrupted President George H. Bush's address on the AIDS crisis by standing up and holding a sign that said, quote, "Talk is cheap, AIDS funding is not," unquote. And she was an author. She wrote a number of books. She was an attorney. She was a reporter. And she was a founder and leader of several organizations related to LGBT plus infinity rights. And there's been an outpouring of testimonials from various well-known people in the LGBT plus infinity population. In some cases, she sounded like some of the old gay liberation people from long ago, and that's a good thing. She was younger than we, but she sounded a little bit like us at times, and that was refreshing. She will be missed, and we're sorry, sorry to see her go. Well, we mentioned last week that there were going to be these hearings this week. And the House Intelligence Committee held the first open congressional hearing on UFOs in more than half a century this past week. UFOs are now called, quote, unidentified aerial phenomena, unquote. In the hearings, Scott W. Bray, Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence, said the Pentagon had received about 400 reports of unidentified aerial phenomena since the Office of the Director of National Intelligence released a report last year calling for more information. They called for more information after 143 out of 144 UFO reports by military members, including pilots, could not be explained. The government is now trying to encourage people to come forward with these kinds of reports. Deputy Bray said that sightings in military airspace and other restricted areas have increased since the start of the 21st century. Bray played a video of a UFO sighting during his testimony. It showed a, quote, spherical object, unquote, fly by a naval aircraft during a training exercise. Bray said, quote, "As they fly by it, they take a video. You see, it looks reflective in this video, somewhat reflective, and it quickly passes by the cockpit of the aircraft. I do not have an explanation for what this specific object is," unquote. Ronald S. Moultrie, Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, told the committee that the Pentagon is establishing an office to investigate these things. He said, quote, "The office's function is clear, to facilitate the identification of previously unknown or unidentified airborne objects in a methodical, logical, and standardized manner," unquote. This newly established office will coordinate with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Federal Aviation Administration, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI, as well as international allies and national laboratories. Intelligence Committee Chairman Representative Adam Schiff said in his remarks that reports of these objects, quote, need to be understood as a national security matter. There is something there, measurable by multiple instruments, and yet it seems to move in directions that are inconsistent with what we know of physics or science more broadly, unquote. So, yeah, it's a national security issue. We have to make damn sure that it isn't something that enemies or potential enemies might be coming up with. That's been it for Back of the Book. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
It's going to be really hot out today. Be careful with the heat because you're not used to it. And above all, remember what that kind of enjoying the heat and wishing people would behave better, Dormouse said.
We have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
Radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
Tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
David Kenny of Everything Old is New Again every Sunday night at 10. Please join me then and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again. Because everything old is new again. I like it.
Exciting. This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break
him with the sound of the
trumpet. Can you dig it? Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Extinction Diaries.
In the last 16 years, over 100,000 Bornean orangutans have been killed by humans, and now there are less than 100,000 remaining. At this rate, their numbers will halve in 5 years and reach extinction by 2030. The Sumatran orangutan is down to just 7,200, and the Tapa Nui orangutan is critically nearing the brink of extinction with less than 800 individuals. It is widely publicized that Western consumption of palm oil in foods, shampoos, soaps, and other common products is the leading cause of all three orangutan deaths, as entire rainforests are clear-cut for palm oil plantations. Yet Americans especially continue to purchase products.